And if you have your Bible, if you would join me this morning in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I'll give you a chance to get your hands going there. And I'll join you. Luke chapter 5. And we'll make our confession together, all right? Luke, third book of the New Testament, San Lucas, capitulo cinco. I got to keep in practice with the few words I know. Luke chapter 5. And if you're there, I'm just curious, how many of you still use like this book, the book format, many of us, okay, that's fine. It's not a right or wrong. I use the app too, all right? I have two, YouVersion and Bible Gateway on my phone, so I use those as well. But I guess I'm just more used, especially in church, to using this one. So anyway, just curious, all right. Well, whatever format you have, if you join me as we make our confession together, let's express our confidence in God's Spirit to speak to us today, all right? Would you join me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Luke 5, 15, we read these words. However, because Jesus had healed a man, it says, however, the report went around concerning Jesus all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him. Notice they came to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. So Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now would you turn to chapter 11? Jesus often withdrew. Pressures, expectations, people's demands. But he made time to spend with his Father in prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass on one of those occasions where Jesus was praying, it says, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, and I want to misread this, and I'll misread it in a way I used to read it years ago, okay? I don't remember how long, but this is how I used to read it, all right? I used to read it like this. Lord, teach us how to pray as John also taught his disciples. And that's not correct, but that's how I read it. And then one day, those two little letters like jumped off the page at me. What it actually says is when Jesus finished praying, one of the disciples came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not just how, teach us to pray. Because that when I saw that, I was like, wow. we want to be effective in our prayers, so we want to have the how to pray effectively. But if we don't have the desire and want to, then we're not going to pray to begin with. So Lord, we see you slip away like often and you're going and praying. And teach us to pray like we see you. Now, Jesus did give them a guide, and we've been using that for the last 3 weeks. In the last 3 weeks, we focused on the privilege of prayer and the purpose of prayer and the power of prayer. And so today, I want to share just one more message and basically to hopefully, God willing, to help us to continue in prayer. So let's go on and read what Jesus, how he responded here in verse 2. So Jesus said to them, and really to us, when you pray, say, and we use this as a guide, our Father in heaven. We talked about keeping prayer relational. Hallowed be your name. Keeping it reverential. And then he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Jesus goes on and he tells a little story, and he's encouraging them and he's encouraging us to pray. And he says, there was a man who had a friend, and the friend came to visit him like midnight. And so he didn't have enough bread to feed his guest. So he goes over to one of his other friends, a neighbor, and he says, he's knocking on the door at midnight. He says, hey, friend, I've had a friend come in, and can I borrow 3 loaves of bread from you? Because I don't have anything enough to feed him. And the man didn't even get up. He just said, man, we're in the bed. The kid's in the bed. The door's shut. Good night. Hey, friend. I've got a friend that came in. And this is what Jesus goes on. He says this in verse 8. I say to you, though this man will not rise and give it to him because of his because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, would you say persistence? Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs and say, here, just let me get back to sleep. Just go on. And so he says, I'll rise and give him as much as he needs. And then he goes on verse 8 and he says this, so I say to you, so he's telling us now, I say to you, ask. And the Greek, the way that's worded is, it's continual. So he's saying, so I'm telling you, keep on asking and it'll be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and it will be open to you for how many? Everyone who keeps on asking receives. And everyone who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened. So Jesus is telling us, if this man is going to get up in the story because he was persistent and he just persevered in prayer, I'm telling you, you have a Father in heaven. And if you keep asking and if you keep seeking his will and if you keep calling on him in prayer, you're going to get a response from heaven. So the word for us today, I believe from Jesus, is this: persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. So we've talked about the privilege of prayer, the purpose of prayer, the power of prayer, and now just keep on keeping on. It's like I relate it to a postage stamp. You know, all of us who do snail mail, the stamp has to stay there until it reaches its destination. Perseverance is the same way. We just keep on praying, and we persevere in prayer until we reach the destination of God's intention and his will for us. Now would you turn over to Luke 18, Luke chapter 18. And we just park here for a minute. Luke chapter 18, and while you're turning, we won't go into it, but right before this, what we're getting ready to read, someone asked Jesus, when is the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus said, God's kingdom is not going to just be observed by our physical eyes, because God's kingdom has already begun. It's already present. It's within you. Because in every heart where the king is reigning, God's kingdom is there. That's what kingdom means, reign. So I like the phrase that says God's kingdom is now and not yet. It's now, it's present because the king is present. His spirit is with us and it's growing. But it has not yet been completely fulfilled. And then Jesus told them, he said, but when I come, when the kingdom of God is fully revealed, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And he really just summed it up like this. He said people were so busy with their daily lives, they were just so consumed with their busyness and their daily activities that they had no time for God. They had no place for God. They gave God no thought. And sadly, they were completely unprepared when judgment fell. Jesus said it's going to be like that when he returns. People are just going to be, it's going to be business as usual until he splits the sky and it's going to be too late. So the time to prepare is now. But I wanted to set that up because he tells them another story to not only encourage his disciples, he's encouraging us here this morning, those of you watching. He's encouraging us to persevere in prayer because we are going to be tempted with everything that we see going on in life to be discouraged and lose heart and to just give up praying. So he says, don't do that. I want to tell you another story to encourage you. So this is what he says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke another parable or story to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't faint. Don't give up. Again, your prayers are going to matter. And then he tells this story. I won't take the time to read it, just real quickly. Most of you are familiar with it. Jesus talks about an unjust judge in a city. And there was this widow who was being wronged. She was being treated unjustly. And she went to the judge to appeal to him and said, I'm presenting my case to you. And he wouldn't listen because he didn't care about her. He didn't care about God. But she just kept coming back. She kept coming back. She kept coming back. She kept coming back. And Jesus said, even though he was an unjust judge, because she just persevered and she kept persisting, coming back, he went ahead and gave her justice. And he said, if an unjust judge will respond because someone just keeps coming to him, persevering, how much more will your Father intervene because he loves you and you just keep crying out to him day and night? And this is what he says in verse 8. And I want to read it to you from a different translation. It's the Passion Translation. Luke 18, verse 8 says, God will give swift justice to those who don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting, in the same way as the widow, even so, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of undying faith on earth? In other words, Jesus is saying, will he find a faith that just perseveres in prayer? Well, I believe he will. God's going to have a praying people. And as I was just thinking on this week, I wonder if he's asking that more on a personal level. Like he's asking me personally, are you going to be one of those when I return or whenever that time frame is that you're going to have enough faith in me that you're just going to keep praying and persevere in prayer? I want to be one. If I'm alive when Jesus returns or not, when I meet him, I want to be calling on his name. I want to be one of those persevering in prayer and being close to my Father. And I believe that's your heart today. Persevere in prayer. Would you say that with me? Persevere in prayer. Would you tell someone next to you, just smile and say, persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Now, let me give you this real quick. What makes it difficult to persevere? Because we got to be honest. Haven't we all been tempted to just, we get discouraged, and it can be difficult to persevere in prayer. And I believe it's important just to be realistic for two reasons. First, so that we're prepared and we don't quit, so that we persevere in prayer. Now, as I was preparing this, I mentioned, I think, last week in the message, and I put it out for those of you who get the email prayer requests. I asked for your responses on our website. If you go to clmfamily.org, clmfamily.org, one of the tabs there on the top says, From the Pastor. And I put a two-question poll on there. One of them is, what do you believe is Satan's greatest tool to hinder Christians from praying? And I really appreciate everyone's response. Those of you who are here, some of you may be watching, I'm not calling names, but I want to share a little bit of what you wrote to me. But I had already grouped the response, you know, in my own thinking, I had come up with three just kind of general reasons, general obstacles that we would have to overcome to persevere in prayer. And the first one, no one came up with, but there was a lot of on the second one I'll give you. So let me give you the first one, right? And this is just what I thought of based on something Jesus said in Matthew 26, 41. In Matthew 26, 41, Jesus knew he was getting ready to, please hear, I'm going to say this, okay? He was getting ready to experience hell in our place. He was going to suffer and die in judgment for our sins. And in his humanity, he felt that weight coming. And he told his disciples, my soul is so sorrowful, even to the point of dying. And he told three of them he said, come with me and just sit here with me and watch and pray. And I'm going to go a little further and I'm just going to pray. Well, when he came back, what were they doing? They had taken their NyQuil. And so they were asleep. And Jesus, he didn't just get on them, but he told them this. He says, Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is. So the weakness of our flesh is one hindrance to prayer, to persevering in prayer. That's the weakness of our flesh. And when I say flesh, it doesn't mean our physical body. We have our we need rest. God commands us to rest, right? But the flesh refers to our nature to sin. We all have that tendency that wants to just go towards sin. It wants to do wrong. And that fleshly tendency is constantly combating God's spirit, which is resident within the heart of every child of God. Everyone who is born of God's spirit has God's spirit within us. And there's that constant battle, flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit. Which one are we going to feed and which one are we going to follow? So Jesus said, you got to be aware. I know your heart might be there, but that flesh is weak. So you got to be alert when you pray. Watch and pray. And then the second area was, and this almost, I won't say all of them, but overwhelming majority of your responses said this, distractions. What is it that Satan uses to hinder us in praying and distractions? Oh my goodness. When distractions take our focus off of Jesus, and distractions can cause us to just consume our time, consume our energy in fruitless activity that will not matter, not only tomorrow, but in eternity. So again, just those type of distractions. And then one more, and someone had even shared this about how Satan just, I'll say it this way. In Ephesians 6, it says that we're to put on the full armor of God because the devil schemes to make us fall. So the devil's strategies, we've got to realize there's a very real spirit world. As a matter of fact, will you turn to the Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 10? Daniel chapter 10, and while you're turning there in the Old Testament, I want to read some of your responses here. Daniel, let me just get there myself. Daniel chapter 10, if you'll hold your spot. This is, again, I won't mention any names, but a lady here in the church wrote that people have lost, we've lost our commitment. And with so many worldly distractions, and people feel like, they worked all week, and the weekend is theirs, so to speak. And this attitude then transfers to the children, and the cycle continues. It's like this busyness. And here's a brother who wrote, there's no longer the desire to find a quiet place or quiet time to reflect and pray. Finding peace and comfort in hearing what God has to say or realizing what God has done and is doing in our lives. Busying ourselves to death, physically and spiritually. Here's another lady who wrote, just the constant bombardment of things. It's like in Daniel 7, the Bible talks about the wearing out of the saints. He just wants to wear us out, constantly hit. I'll just ask, how many of us know anyone who's just going through something right now? I mean, you're just going through something. You know someone who's going through something. It's just like, it almost seems like nonstop, everywhere we turn, somebody's going through something, just trying to wear people out. Here's another one that, that lady wrote, and she was encouraging me because she started quoting a lot of scriptures and saying, this is how we can grab a hold of that word in our heart. Here's another brother who said, the ways of the world have taken over our time and focus. Satan has implanted fear in the hearts of God's people, not everyone, but so prayer time is now spent complaining and worrying. Here's another that says, getting too busy in even good things can keep us from spending precious time with our Father in heaven. Several people even mentioned social media. You know how those things can be distracting to us. Notice what the Bible says here in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 2. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. Daniel says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And then if you drop down to verse 7, because Daniel sees this vision, awesome vision, and people were with him, And they saw they didn't see the vision or hear it, but they knew something happened that terrified them. It says in verse 7, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Thanks, friends. You leave me here by myself. And the Bible says Daniel was so overcome that he was on his face on the ground. And it says in verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Notice this, please. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. You think about that. This angelic being is coming to Daniel saying, I'm here because you prayed. And I'm here because of your words. That's powerful. I'm here because of your words. Well, why did he wait 3 weeks to show up? The next verse tells us. It says this in that next verse, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Do you realize that there are spirits over areas of the world? And when this angel came, there was a spirit over the kingdom of Persia that kept him from answering that prayer Daniel prayed. But Daniel didn't give up on day one. Daniel didn't give up on day 20. He persevered in prayer. Would you say persevere in prayer? And he, on that 21st day, because he kept praying, I'm here because of your words, but there was a spiritual battle. In fact, Michael, the angel, had to come help me battle this spirit. The spirit realm is very real. Spiritual battles are very real. And sometimes prayer can be hindered by demon spirits. And so we just got to keep on praying and praying and persevering. Let's not give up calling on the Lord. But even those satanic schemes and strategies, we have to overcome those somehow. So he goes on, he says, and when that prince is done, then the prince of, there was another spirit that's going to come, a prince over Greece, because that would be the next world kingdom. Think about this for a second, please. Conflicts that we see maybe in the world could reflect something going on in the spirit realm. So we want to pray, to persevere in prayer. He said, I'm here because of your words. And then Daniel told him, after you spoke to me, you strengthened me by your words. Words are powerful, aren't they? We can be strengthened by someone else's words. Our words can strengthen someone else. Let me close with this, because now I want to just kind of conclude with what inspires perseverance. And we can come up maybe with any number of good reasons. I just want to share two. Two ways that we can inspire us, because how are we going to overcome? We've got to be realistic. We're going to face these things. Man, it's going to be tough, and we're going to be tempted to lose heart. We might be discouraged. What's going to keep us praying? I was talking with a lady here before the service this morning, one of the sisters in the church, and she prayed for her husband to come to the Lord for over 20 years. And thankfully, before he slipped away into eternity, she was able to lead him to the Lord. Thank God. Because I told her, I said, I believe your prayers made a difference because they were planting seeds. God was working on his heart. God was working on his heart. So just be encouraged. I know when we don't see the prayers, believe me. Today, I was telling Kim earlier, today Brittany has been on her job for 4 years. But we prayed. We had to make trips sometimes to Lynchburg and, you know, fill out applications. I didn't even keep up with the count. This is what she told me. She said, you know, this particular job that she's been on now, she had 17 different job interviews. And everyone, no. They liked her and the door shut. and the door shut. That's discouraging. The proverb said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Now, we can look back 4 years later and we see God's hand. We see God's wisdom. We see God's timing. And all of those closed doors were just as much a part of God's will as his open door. But our part was just to persevere in prayer. So I hope I encourage you today. Please don't give up. Two reasons to persevere in prayer. Number one, I'll just tell them to you, two words. We can summarize it like this. Purpose. Purpose. I'll give you, they probably put it on the screen. And passion. Purpose and passion. Purpose and passion. Would you say that with me? Purpose and passion. In Matthew chapter 6, again, I won't go into all the detail. I'll move on this one fairly quick. But 2 weeks ago, I shared a message on that. What is the purpose of prayer? Maybe you were here that day, or if you weren't, I'll just give you real quick. I shared a little story about how I was helping Brittany do something there in Lynchburg in her house, and I was going to try to hang a wicker shelf. And as it turned out, we didn't have the tools. That wall was different, everything. I just kind of left frustrated. I was like, I'm sorry, Britt. I can't do it, you know. And humanly, I could have thought it was a waste of time, a waste of effort. And I think sometimes in prayer, we think the same thing. That was a waste of time. It was a waste of effort, wasted prayer. My prayer wasn't answered. Wait a minute. Did I learn something from that? Yes, I learned that's a different wall. I got to go get a drill. And I got to do something different to hang this shelf. And so that was our intention. But then I said this. If Brittany would have said to me when I left that weekend, that Saturday night or evening, if she'd have said, well, instead of just saying, well, that was a waste of time, if she would have said, being with you was a waste of time, could you imagine how I would have felt? One of the main reasons of prayer, if we could get this, why do you pray? Well, I want to get my prayers answered. That's right, and that's good. But if we will pray to get closer to God and pray for his will to be done, I promise you on the authority of God's word, your effort, your time, and your prayers will never be wasted. They will not be in vain, because whatever may happen in this earthly realm of time, you got closer to your heavenly Father and you did what Jesus told you to do for his will to be done. And that is never a waste of time. And I've missed this so many years of my life, and I'm more convinced of it than ever. I need to be as close to God as I can personally be, because I need to hear his heart. I need to hear his voice. I need the leading of his spirit. I need his truth and discernment, because there are too many deceiving voices out in this world trying to take my heart and my attention and draw me away. So I've got to be close to God. And one of the privileges of prayer is we can get closer to our Heavenly Father. And if you make prayer about getting closer to him, it'll never be in vain. So Jesus said this in Matthew 6:6. Again, I'll just give it to you from this translation. I think I shared it that day, the Passion. It says this, whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God. Be like Jesus and have that time where you can give God some of your attention and just focus on him. Innermost chamber in your heart with Father God. Pray unto him in secret. You don't have to make a show. Yes, we pray in public too, but your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. Now let me just wrap this up before we go into that. Purpose and passion. Purpose and passion. Would you say that with me? Purpose and passion. Come on. Purpose and passion. Purpose. There are times when prayer is warfare, and we must battle, I just show you. There are times when prayer is work. We labor in prayer. The Bible says in Colossians 4, Epaphras labors fervently for you in prayer. But God never intended prayer to be all warfare. God never intended prayer to be all work. And this is where I'm coming into this. God also ordained prayer to be worshipful communion with our Father. Oh my goodness. Just worshipful communion, making some time to focus on Jesus, making some time to just hear his word to us and think on his word, making some time to just thank him and worship him and bless him. That is prayer. I'm telling you, God does something in prayer, because we can be, you know, fight in prayer, and if all we do is battle, it can be draining. But we need that time to just worship and just to enjoy being with him. That's what I was saying about being with Brittany, just to enjoy being with my daughter, enjoy being with your father. It's that relationship. Enjoy being with him, and I'm telling you, God uses our communion with him to strengthen us. He strengthens our spirit. God uses our communion with him to give us his peace. He said, my peace I give to you. But we've got to be in a position close enough to receive his peace. And it's communion with him where our joy increases. Man, when we're in full fellowship with the Lord, our joy is going to be full. So it's not wasted time. Yes, we battle at times. Yes, we work, we intercede, and we do all of those things. But let's make some time to just enjoy being with God too. To worship him, being in his presence. Purpose, and then I'll close with this. Passion. Passion. Colossians 4:2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. And if you want to write it down, in fact, I want to challenge you, all right? I want to challenge you with this one. I hope that you'll learn this verse. I hope you'll think about it and meditate on it this week. And I'm going to give you a different translation. I had never read this before because I learned it like this. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And that's good. But I'm going to give you this one if you want to get it. It's Colossians 4:2 in the NCB. And it says it like this. It's just 9 words. Persevere in prayer with alert minds and thankful hearts. I just love that. Persevere in prayer. See, with God, it's always about our heart. It's always about our motives. Persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Would you tell someone next to you, persevere in prayer? With alert minds. See, alert minds are focusing on the Lord. Thankful hearts, being grateful for just the privilege of being saved, being forgiven of all my sins. I'm not going to hell. Thank God he's called me, he's saved me, and he's chosen to use my prayers. Think about that. He's chosen to use my prayers to extend his reign and his kingdom and his will right here on earth, right now. We have a high and holy calling. And he says about the heart, passionless prayer is not only boring, it's draining. Passionless anything is draining. If you dread doing some activity, it's going to drain you before you start. I've got to do this. Well, that's the way to put your heart into it. So the Lord, we got to put our heart into it. Say, no, man, Lord, I'm thankful I can pray. Now, my body's tired. I'm sleepy right now. But when I wake up, I'm going to give you my attention. And just making that time. Thankful hearts, and just coming before him. And man, let's pray with passion. Let's worship with passion. Let's hear his word with passion and share him with others with passion. Let's just focus on him and be passionate about it. Persevere in prayer with alert minds and thankful hearts. Would you read that with me if we put it on the screen? Would you read it out loud? Persevere in prayer with alert minds and thankful hearts. Let me close with this. Is God passionate about you? Think about Jesus being mocked, beaten, betrayed, spit on, having the beard pulled from his face, blindfolded and punched, and saying, "You're the Messiah, tell us which one punched you." It was a game the Roman soldiers would play. And beat him unmercifully to the point, the Bible says he wouldn't look human. In fact, in the original language, when it says, talks about his stripes, it's one word, stripe, or singular, stripe. His whole back may have been open. And then carry that cross up the hill. His body humanly couldn't even make it. He stumbled and someone had to help. Then they spike him to the cross and he's there 6 hours gasping for breath. And he looks out on those gambling for his clothes as he's there with nothing and says, "Father, forgive them. They don't really know what they're doing." We call his suffering and death what? The passion. He's passionate about us. He just wants us to be passionate about him. And I really believe it inspires prayer to just come at him with everything. Alert minds and thankful hearts can help us overcome those distractions that are calling to us all the time. Alert minds and thankful hearts can help us stand against the schemes of the devil because he wants to keep us from prayer, because many times the battle is prayer. I want to say that again. The battle is prayer. That's where we engage those spirits and enforce God's reign and his will to be done as we call on him for victory. So that's why I'm saying it's important. We just got to be close to him. Even our weakness of our flesh, alert minds and thankful hearts. So I'll ask you this. Will you, just between you and God now, will you set your heart on the Lord? Will you be passionate for him? Will you be passionate in prayer? Will you be passionate in worship about his word? Will you be passionate about wanting to see others come to know him too? So I just want to encourage you today, once again, please don't give up. Keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. Get close to your Father in heaven. Your prayers are not in vain. He's using them to accomplish his will and expand his reign right here on earth. Persevere in prayer. Would you stand as we close in prayer? I want to read just these last two verses if you want to just look on the screen. I think we have them up there, Romans 12, 11 and 12, once again from that Passion Translation. I love how it's worded. It says, "Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble." Oh my goodness. "Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times." Father, we pray.